everyone, and welcome back to another episode of You Missed It. So pleased that you can join us again. And this week, I am your host, Rylan, and I'm with the usual suspects here, Zach, Andrew, Alex, and Jack. And today we are doing a movie of my choice, and that is 1 Week. And if you haven't heard of it, don't worry, you're not alone. It's a very small-time, small-budget Canadian film. It was released in at the Toronto International Film Festival in September 2008, and then released in March 2009. It has a very small budget of about $2 million, and it made even smaller returns of about $488,000. So yeah, clearly a bit of a money pit there, but that doesn't change my opinion of it at all. But anyway, we'll get to that, I'm sure. It's written and directed by a Canadian filmmaker, Michael McGowan, who's also known for other works such as St. Ralph, Still Mine, and Score, a hockey musical, which is on my list of ones to watch now. This movie stars Joshua Jackson as a young man living an ordinary life until he suddenly finds out that he has stage 4 cancer, and everything that he knows basically gets pulled up by the roots, and he needs to reevaluate everything. Basically overwhelmed suddenly by the knowledge of that he hasn't achieved what he's wanted to in his life and made compromises and all that, he makes the impulsive decision to purchase a motorcycle and use it to embark on a journey across Canada for a change of perspective and to contemplate what the future might hold for him. Now, in addition to this film being being very Canadian, about as Canadian as it gets, it's a love letter to our country in the settings, in the actors, the score, basically everybody involved in this film is Canadian, including every song on the soundtrack and all that. So after that, a little bit of, I've got a lot of thoughts on this film, so I tend to ramble a little bit about it. It was my favorite movie for a long time. I fell in love with it when I first saw it, and it was my favorite film for a long time. And before I get to hear your thoughts on it, I suppose I should pimp us out here a little bit. We are you're probably listening to us on SoundCloud right now, but we are also on iTunes. We are on Facebook. We are on YouTube, and we are also on Twitter. Twitter, you can follow us at YMI_podcast, and basically every other platform is either just You Missed It or You Missed It Podcast. Figure it out.
Great plug. You do the work.
You do the work. Work.
Well, it's really not that hard. You might have to do like 2 Google searches, and if that's beyond you, then I don't know why we're even.
We can't help
about
you there.
This.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Let's go to my left, like we usually do. Zach, let's hear your thoughts on this very special film to me.
Okay, so I just wanted to point one thing out. Actually, I'm kind of disappointed in the fact that they didn't use the perfect song for this.
Is it
movie.
A Canadian song?
It sure is.
We're Naked Ladies, right?
It's been 1 week since you looked at me.
Yeah,
of course. that's a movie they needed to have.
They probably couldn't afford it, man.
You're right. But then again, it's like, I don't know. They could have. It's a love
like
letter to Canada. They
Canadian,
should have been like, here you go.
Like, you can get Canadian artists fairly easily in Canadian movies. Like, because of the, I feel like they're willing to participate a lot more in a Canadian film than they are.
The movie clearly showed that.
Yeah, like, they'd be willing to be like, you don't have to pay a lot for it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like most Canadian artists are like that. But
yeah,
they got to stop Joshua Jackson from ordering so many triple cheeseburgers and instead got him to ride a motorcycle around the country.
Yeah.
So, you know.
He needs to stop showing up at Wendy's and go to Tim Hortons. It's clearly where his destiny
exactly
lies. Although I personally have, in all my years of drinking Tim Hortons coffee, I've never seen a cup that says, "Go West, young man."
I was going to say, yeah, well, I mean, obviously that plays with a lot of the things they do in the film. But,
I know. Maybe
but
it's
like,
maybe
oh.
it's because we're Vancouver, we already are West.
Yeah, fair enough. And it's like,
it's like,
huh?
Go East.
I guess I'm going to swim.
No one wants to go East.
Yeah.
It's the opposite. West. Instead of go West, young man, it's go East, biatch.
I also thought that was kind of funny, too, how it's like, oh, they start him in Toronto and make him go West. It's not like they start him in the Maritimes. They start him in Vancouver and he does the whole country because they're just like, screw
like,
everything
the Maritimes.
East. Screw everything east from, you know, of Toronto. Yeah. Like, I was thinking that too, and I'm from the Maritimes, so obviously for me it's like, oh, ha ha.
See,
ha.
You felt a little excluded there.
Just a little bit. It's like, oh yeah, all of Canada.
No, they tried to salvage it with those
two guys
kids on the bike who
I was gonna
were
say.
Biking from Newfoundland to Vancouver on a
but
small
it's like,
budget.
That accent, dude.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
it was
accent
so
that they had. I was like, did they got a real Newfie?
Yeah, it's like a taste of Irish and a taste of I don't know what the fuck. That's pretty much Newfie.
Newfie is like the most like to me when people make fun of the Canadian dialect, that's what they're making fun of.
That's right.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Is, nobody
it's
like
because
west
it's the weirdest thing. It's like
Quebec
people who make fun of
like
Americans and they do the Southern accent.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. You go to Boston, they sound like they're from Ireland. You know. You
yeah,
go to,
but Boston's kind of hard. Like a bit more of a difficult accent to do.
It is.
So
specific.
People don't typically
exactly
do that accent.
And then there's
so
the Minnesota nice accent, and then you know.
Yeah, French Canadian's kind of hard to do unless you speak French.
Right.
Yeah. So like honestly, yeah, I could see why you default to Newfie. Because it's like, what is this? It's like the hick accent, but it's not really. Like, I don't know. It's just people don't understand it.
John Chrétien is probably my reference for a French Canadian.
Really?
Yeah, John Chrétien.
Out of all the French Canadians,
he's just got that strong.
Like, he does.
Really,
but
really strong.
Man, like, John Chrétien impressions, they were rampant for a while.
Though. Yeah, they were. But
okay,
anyways,
well,
when we.
At any rate, even though your home province was not represented,
yes.
How do you feel about this film?
I like it. I'm not in love with the movie. I do like it. I think the strong points that I really liked in the movie, funny enough, I thought the relationship angle with, like, obviously his wife and himself and that whole kind of struggle and stuff, I thought that was kind of cool throughout it. But the thing is with this movie, obviously, is that, like, there's a lot of movies that kind of tackle this whole, like, oh, I've got this illness, you know, I've only got so much time to, you know, live, right? I mean, one of my all-time favorite movies, Ikiru, it's in my top 10 films of all time, is like probably the granddaddy of that, where it's like, oh, you get this illness and you feel like you haven't lived the way you should and you got to go out and do that, right? And then there's like Bucket List and like a bunch of others, but this, obviously the strengths of this was, like, you know, obviously the Canada stuff, right? The, you know, love letter to Canada, the driving across the country, stuff like that was kind of a neat low budget idea, which is pretty cool. Oh wow, look, it says a love letter to Canada on the
what
back.
A surprise,
look,
right?
At that.
Hey, look, three Canadian outlets gave it 5 stars. Love letter to Canada, poignant, whimsical. Oh, look, French one too. Can you read that one?
Oh, you gotta get that in
there. You go, the Montreal Gazette. What did they say?
Le meilleur film de l'année.
Oh, you gotta say it like Jean Chrétien, though.
Stretch your face a little bit.
You just gotta move your mouth to the side, and then you gotta like that a little bit, and then you got him. French Canadian.
You gotta get
that.
Some cerebral palsy, because that's what he got. He's got like what Stallone has.
Well, yeah, I was gonna make a Stallone comparison.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna offend a whole lot of people, I think.
Don't we already have French Sylvester Stallone? I thought his name was Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh. Well, I mean, he's from France, but still, it's, I guess so.
He's from Brussels, man.
Yeah, or Brussels. Yeah, you're right.
He's the muscle from Brussels.
Right. I always forget about that. I always think he's from France, but it's...
He's not, dude. Yeah.
He's not.
Don't forget about Brussels, man.
Yeah.
Muscles
from Brussels.
Come on,
Belgium.
But yeah, 1 week. I liked that it was obviously very low budget. At first I thought it was going to be like kind of like a Paul Greengrass type thing. The camera was like moving and I was like, oh man, I was like, is this going to be like, you know, did they just mess up? And I'm like, oh no, it's like a hand cam kind of deal, like a little bit, not that extreme, but more like Paul Greengrass, which is kind of always moving a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I got into it, right? It wasn't an issue after that. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing, I guess, about 1 week is that, you know, I like obviously the hitting the Canada hotspots, you know, going through.
Except for Vancouver.
And, except for Vancouver. Well, I mean, you got the ocean.
Then again, they didn't hit any other major Canadian city other than Toronto, right?
Yeah, I mean, everything else is just like all those prairie cities. Well, they yeah, got it's Banff. Like small, don't it's forget like about
basically,
Banff.
Basically, small town Canada, which is the majority of Canada.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's he's making a point to go out of his way to try new experiences. So maybe he's it's not specified in the film, but perhaps he's avoiding the major cities for that reason.
Yeah, well, city's a city, right? They change, they're different, have a different identity, but they're still big cities.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. And I mean, and honestly, like that wasn't the main point, anyways. It's about just about him getting away and all that. But yeah, I thought besides like just the love letter to Canada stuff and then like the relationship things, I thought it was just kind of it was pretty straightforward.
It's
right?
just like kind of been done already.
It could be some of that. Maybe it was just missing a bit of an oomph. Like I do like the movie, but it just wasn't. There was nothing, I guess, there to be like, oh, okay, that's I really gravitate towards that. Like this is going to make me love the movie, kind of thing. It just kind of, you know, it's one of those movies just kind of. It kind of goes by and you're like, yeah, I'm glad I watched it. But you're not really blown away, I don't think. I mean, at least me personally.
Fair enough. I haven't seen anywhere near as many movies as you. So I have not seen Akira either, although I know that one is supposed to be excellent.
It is amazing.
Wait, how does Akira relate to 1 week? It just
did you not listen to me? I just mentioned it.
He might be confusing Akira and Akiru.
Oh, is that what's happening?
I don't know. Did I?
No, this boy. This is not like Akira, so don't watch this.
I if you're a fan this is not of the anime. although there is motorcycles in that movie,
I guess there is.
that's the only connection, and they're much cooler in that movie, but. This motorcycle was pretty cool too.
Akira though. Akira has more in line with Tron.
No, Akiru and Akiru. Okay. That's a Kurosawa classic.
Yeah, I've heard the title before. I just heard you say Akira. Yeah, it's one of my for some reason in my no, head. I heard it as Akira. I was like, what?
You should see that movie though.
It is
what Akiru,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I saw Akiru just a couple months ago, yeah. and
I've seen a few Kurosawa movies now.
That one's my favorite though overall.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't. Seen that, so yeah, that's on my list anyway. Yeah, so I get that. Okay, yeah. Good clarification, thank you.
Alrighty, now that we've got that resolved, Andrew, let's say, what do you think?
So first off, I feel like if I say anything bad about the movie, Ryland was kind of leading her questioning a little bit there. What do you think of my favorite movie of all time? Do you want to crush my feelings by insulting this movie?
I kind of got the fucker.
If it makes you feel any better, it's not currently my favorite movie. It's my favorite movie until I saw Inception. And then that was my favorite movie until I saw Cloud Atlas. But anyways.
It's her third favorite movie.
So did you see 1 week in the theater then? Or did you just catch it
No,
right away?
I must have just seen it like soon after it came out on DVD or what have you. Because it has been several years since I've actually seen this movie.
Yeah, no, I was just asking that because it's like that and Inception are very close. Like this was what, 2008?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and Inception was 2010. 10, so you must have seen that like... pretty quickly after.
So maybe it was my favorite movie for about a year and a half.
Oh, then. Okay.
But watching it again, it's actually a little bit better than I remembered it too. I was hoping that it would. I was thinking it might not have held up as much, but it did for me. Anyway, it's not my turn to talk. let's go back to Andrew. No pressure. I promise.
No, yeah, I don't know about that, but no, I don't know. I like the movie, so it's not like I'm gonna shit all over the movie at all. So. No, I liked it, but I feel like I feel like that's the lens through which I look at the movie. It makes a huge difference. So if I were to show this movie to other people, a general audience or an international audience, I could totally get how this movie doesn't appeal to a wide range of people. You know, somebody in, you know, this movie, even in like in Europe or something like that. I don't think it would connect with anybody in Europe nearly as even America. Americans wouldn't connect with it quite as much, I don't think, because for me personally, a lot of what made the movie fun to watch and impactful in certain ways was its Canadian identity. But I'm Canadian, so if I hadn't grown up here, a lot of that wouldn't have mattered as much. I wouldn't have cared so much. It would have just been like when I see movies in the States that are in the Midwest or something, and it has their identity, or it's like, oh, when critics talk about like, oh, it's got that LA and identity, you know, like, oh, if I used to go to that coffee shop and this and that, and they connect to it a lot more because it's so familiar. Mm. But I don't feel that at all. I'm like, that doesn't matter. I judge the movie on a completely different, I judge it completely differently. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I have an inherent bias watching this movie. I feel like Canadians have an inherent bias watching this movie because they connect with things that are Canadian, because it's so rare to see. And I appreciate that as a Canadian, which is why I enjoyed it more than I think I would have if it didn't have those elements in it. So mm-hmm. I love that part of the movie. If I'm looking at the movie and I strip away a lot of, like, if I just look at the base plot, the emotion, and not just the Canadian stuff, like Roll Up and, you know, like the cities they hit and what, and the Canadian identity and just the people he met, I liked the interactions. I liked the dialogue. I thought that every time there was an interaction, I was never bored. I bought into it. I liked what it was kind of trying to say about relationships and life. I thought it was a pretty basic message, but one that resonates.
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of contrived, but it's true at the end of the day. So like,
I mean, simple stories aren't a bad thing just for being simple. Like a simple message doesn't mean that a movie is bad just because, oh, it's not trying to be complicated. It's not trying to be Inception, you know? I appreciate that a lot of times if you do it well, and it did do it well. But I thought that the only sticking point for me, if I strip away the Canadian identity, like, not that you ever would want to, but just looking at it without, trying to look at it without those feelings clouding that judgment, the journey itself wasn't always entertaining. Like, it dragged a little bit. Like, that journey across Canada kind of dragged like a real journey across Canada where it's like, this is really long and not always fun. Like, it's going to be boring over like a period of time, like peppered in with like cool fun stuff, but a lot of the time it's going to be kind of not as entertaining. And that's kind of how his journey was. Like, there were moments where it's just he's riding and it looks nice, but I don't know, it wasn't as entertaining as say when he stopped and he had this great conversation with this farmer, or you know, he has that conversation about love at a motel. Like, all that stuff is really
cool. With Gordon Downey.
Awesome. Which was a nice,
and Erie too,
which was a nice I thought it was cool. It was cool to see that. I like that, you know. It's feels, man. It's cool to see that. So I appreciated all those elements of the film, but when he was just literally riding, which is actually a lot of the movie, like a decent percentage of it, I felt like it kind of slowed down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's my main criticism of the film. Overall, I liked it though, and I have that bias, so I liked it more than I would have otherwise.
Fair enough. Yeah. And I mean, like, I obviously I believe we're all Canadian at this table here. And I mean, I have not had a chance to explore very much of our country. The furthest, the most exotic Canadian place I've been to is Edmonton. So there's
exotic.
That's super exotic. Right? Have you been to the West Edmonton Mall?
Yeah. It screams exotic.
It's a whole other world.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, it does like make me want to get out, honestly, and explore the rest of.
That's what I'll say about the film, though, is that it kind of nailed Canada's diverse beauty in a way, because it's shocking that you can go from, like, it's such a jarring thing to go from the city and then just drive 8 hours, 10 hours north. Like, even here in BC, and to just be surrounded by some of the most beautiful scenery, like, in the world. It's so incredible to just have that available to you. You can go straight up to the mountains or down to the sea. Mm-hmm. It's such an amazing feeling. So I have had that experience growing up, like, just around BC mostly, but going back and forth, like, to northern BC and then, like, to the island and stuff. So all the way south. It's a cool, it like it nailed that because you see all that stuff and you think, yeah, this is beautiful in that way, and they capture that. So
yeah, like right at the end of the movie, they have that German couple who's like, you realize you live in like the most beautiful country in the world, right? And it's or one of the most beautiful countries in the world, and like it's sounds like, you know, we're just kind of like jerking Canada off a little bit there, but I mean, like, it's true.
I've been on like a
like
a few years ago, I went on a whale watching boat when I was visiting a relative on Vancouver Island, and there were people on that boat from all over the world. Like there was like people from like Germany and from like Norway and stuff, and they were all like saying how thrilled they were to like be able to come here and like see all this stuff. So and it inspires you to kind of get out and explore more of your own backyard. So whether you're Canadian or not, you can get up on this a little bit.
And I'm a firm believer of that as well, that if you're especially if you're Canadian, I think that a lot of Canadians haven't really explored their own country, and I'm guilty of this as well, and they explore the other parts of the world as well. But I think a lot of Canadians do have a duty to, well, not a duty, but they should really consider traveling and exploring their own country, because it is way more diverse than, it is incredibly diverse and worth exploring. So it's, I've always wanted to explore more, and I've been taking steps towards that. But I feel like the only one at this table who's truly done that is, I guess, you, Jack, because you did like a cross Canada drive. So.
Yeah, I went from Vancouver to Cape Breton all the way near Nova Scotia. That was my whole trip.
And then I've just traveled kind of different places in Canada, but not straight throughout.
You've gone more like more of your road trips have been north and south.
Oh, in terms of road trips, yeah. But I mean, in terms of like I grew up in the east. I lived in Newfoundland too at one point, and then I've lived in Edmonton. I've been to Toronto, Montreal. Mm-hmm. You know, and then obviously now I'm in Vancouver. So, like, obviously I haven't been through as many places as you have, because you kind of drove right through, except for Newfoundland.
I didn't go to Newfoundland.
But that's understandable, because that's a long ways to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very far out place for Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex, why don't you tell us about your Canadian travels and or your opinion on this film?
I'll start with the opinion on the film, since that's why we're here.
Good answer.
I loved this film. I had heard about it when it came out back in 2008, and it had always been in the back of my mind to see it at some point in time, not just because I'm Canadian and it's like some patriotic duty that you have to see this film. No, it's because I had heard it was something different for Joshua Jackson, and considering the other films I had seen him in, this was a departure, you could say. And watching it, absolutely. I think it goes to show that a film does not have to be big or loud or flashy or have, you know, scenes of violence or action or great choreography in terms of martial arts to be a good film. This had a lot of quiet moments. I loved the scenery shots. The director of photography, Arthur E. Cooper, great job. I can remember when I was a kid, my parents would drive from Mackenzie, British Columbia, which is my hometown, which is approximately 12 hours north of here. So off the beaten path. It's 30 kilometers off the main highway.
I know Mackenzie roughly, but like that's where is that in relation to like Williams Lake?
Further north. Do you know where Prince George? Further north,
I know that.
Do you know where Prince George is?
I know where Prince George is. It's between there and Prince George, which is a long distance. But like where in relation to that though?
In relation,
like, I'm trying to think like where it's like if I was driving there.
In relation to Prince George, if you continue going north. And, of course, it depends on how fast you drive.
Fast.
So, let's say 120 kilometers per hour. That's the Canadian thing. We always measure distance in terms of hours traveled by vehicle for some reason.
Exactly.
So, I think my fastest time driving from Mackenzie to Prince George and conversely was an hour and 25 minutes. I was probably doing 115, 120 the whole way. I hope there are no police listening. I don't think I can be charged at this point because they'd have to prove it. So you drive approximately an hour and a half north from Prince George. You'll reach a junction at which point
Prince George. Yeah. Like, I forgot it's up there. That far north.
Yes.
Damn. My geography, Canadian geography, sucks.
So yeah. We should have had a map here.
Yeah, like should have had a map. Honestly, for this movie, idea. That would have been a good idea.
The Blu-ray menu has a map on
does it.
Does
it?
So. Does it really?
Yeah,
that's right. Funny.
That's
oh,
right.
Man. Yeah. What else? Actually, question for you. What else was Joshua Jackson in? Like, I heard you said Mighty Ducks. Yeah. Quack. I can't remember.
Fringe.
Who was he?
Fringe.
In,
yeah.
Who was he in Mighty Ducks?
Oh, one of the kids. I haven't seen Mighty Ducks.
He's one of the kids.
Years.
Which.
Yeah.
Shit.
It just hit you?
Yeah. Because it's such an age difference, right?
Well,
it's
he's
like,
a little
I can't,
kid.
Well, it's
yeah.
hard to tell somebody mm-hmm. who's grown up like that,
yeah.
appearance, the difference in appearance, right? It's like
yeah.
looking at a picture of me from 20 years
ago. Famous for Dawson's Creek, wasn't
that's
he?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
Dawson's Creek. I never watched
it. I never watched it either.
So. I don't want to.
No, but
I know that.
Just creeping his like actor pages.
Yeah.
It's great. Dawson's Creek's my jam.
Yeah, but Fringe was the other big show that he was yeah. was very
again
big
yeah these are shows that I haven't watched. He's like done like a lot of like TV, I guess, right?
Yeah, yes, yeah.
Okay. He was also in The Skulls.
Yes, he was. I remember that.
The
yeah.
hell is that?
Oh man.
There's
the
three
Skulls
of them. There's three of them, isn't there?
There's yeah, there's like a whole trilogy. So, yeah, it's
Skull 1, Skull 2, Skull 3,
but the first one is worth
watching. Are these are
yeah,
like Hollywood movies?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah.
What,
I swear
you haven't heard us?
Were they in theaters?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I saw the Skulls in theater.
The Skulls or Skulls?
It's like,
the Skulls.
It's like, it's kind of like, yeah. from what I gathered, it's like kind of like a hidden society of people, kind of conspiracy type of movie.
Yeah.
You know, kind of
yeah.
like the Illuminati.
Yeah,
and all
it's kind of
like
that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is this like recent? Like
no.
Or old?
90s. 2000. 90s, I want to say
like
99, 2000.
2000?
Something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
It's yeah. very,
so
yeah.
I'm going to say yeah. right now, this is the second film from Joshua Jackson I've seen then. It's Mighty oh. Ducks and then this.
I'm sure we're missing some, though, like because yeah. he's in other things, too.
Definitely.
Like.
No wonder yeah. why his face looks so familiar over time. I watch Mighty Ducks like religiously, and it's like, I don't know, man. Like, I swear I don't know what I've seen this guy in besides that. Mighty Ducks. It's just a child version of him.
Yeah, basically.
There you go. Okay, fine. Done. Okay, case closed. Continue. Joshua Jackson.
I thought it was so weird, too, that the guy from the actual like Ducks hockey team was there.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a very well. Like big name from
but still I was
well,
like
yeah, they
what?
Needed they needed somebody who was born
yeah
in
they
Canada.
Needed like somebody
yeah.
who would bring the cup to Canada,
which is
yeah.
easy
yeah.
but
well yeah there's yeah. other well there's other Canadian players on the Ducks but
yeah
big names at that time mm-hmm. but obviously
but is their hometown on that does their hometown mm-hmm. coincide with the point
shit
on
I don't
his
know honestly
motorcycle journey.
What about Getzlaf? Where is he? He's Saskatchewan, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I one of the things I did read was that was just pure fluke that he was there for that day.
Really?
Yeah, see, that seems more likely, right?
That it had to be him. He's in that arena. They're like, oh, can we just do this? And they're like, sure.
Oh, actually.
Yeah,
that's
I heard that was just a complete walk-on fluke. And same reaction, just like, oh,
well, I thought
up.
I that's thought they fantastic. Timed it. Like, it was a fluke in the sense, what mm-hmm. I had figured when I was watching it was like, oh, he was bringing the cup anyway, and they kind of just said, hey, do you mind if we shoot this like mm-hmm. because they knew he was bringing it that like around that time or whatever yeah. they just scheduled it but was it literally like they happened to be shooting there on that day because that seems like a ridiculous coincidence.
I need to refresh that
the less
factoid.
Than 10% odds for sure.
Yeah, yeah, but worse odds than sorry better odds than having a successful marriage, so
yeah.
And by the way, the
according
Skulls
the
is Skulls, Skull 2, Skull
3. Oh, is it 2 and 3?
Yeah.
I thought it was a little more original titles,
wow.
but I guess not.
No, it's The Skulls.
Oh, okay.
The Skulls 2.
Well,
the
it does go like...
Well, you can use the L's as Roman numerals, so that right
they weren't
there
that
for
clever.
A logo design
no.
can make things
anyways,
simpler.
Yeah. Alex, back to you. It totally went off the rails.
So
sorry.
Back on the road, I was talking about my hometown, which is off the road by 30 kilometers.
Yes.
And Mackenzie, home... to the world's largest tree crusher. I've got a picture of it if you're that interested.
How much? I now, I've, this movie makes me want to like Google world's largest shit in Canada.
Yeah, pretty much.
There were
obsessed.
Some things that I
I'm
saw.
I'm shocked at how much there is.
There were some things that I saw across Canada. They didn't even show it.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the thing. Is like Corner Gas had that.
Well,
like I feel like Canadian media keeps bringing that up mm-hmm. and it's way more prevalent than I know of. And that's mm-hmm. kind of like shocking that I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, actually it's not. It's kind of like ridiculous shit that's
yeah and they but, they missed yeah. a whole lot of stuff east of Toronto too
yeah whatever
as well
yeah. continue John yeah. Alex.
What about the giant lobster or the magnetic hill magnets What about those?
Yeah, maybe okay, it's Alex. Because if he'd gone to if he if he'd gone east, over. And he would have just stayed at Cows in PEI.
Or Cows. Actually, another good point. And Anna Green Gables.
So as the German couple had said in the film, you live in one of the most beautiful countries in the world. And I can remember walking out my back door into a backyard that was huge. By Vancouver standards, it's absolutely gigantic. Like mm-hmm. the square footage of my parents' backyard covered the entire lot that this house sits on from front to back. Yeah, from street to alley. I'm almost certain it's that long. And I would walk out into the backyard and I would see Morphy Mountain, not too far off in the distance. And it's those little things. Mm-hmm. Like I could look up at night and see all the stars in the sky because the lights in town weren't all that bright.
That's such an amazing feeling. Oh, it is. I like that you bring that up because like Northern BC, especially the clearest skies ever. And it is a wonder to look at. Like, it's things like that. Like, I like that you mentioned that and it's like you immediately relate to it because it's mm-hmm. such a cool thing that you only get here.
Can you see the Northern Lights up there too?
I think so.
At certain times, right?
I don't recall ever seeing them, but I'm almost certain that you
it's could. Possible on a really clear, like unobstructed. I think like a certain time. I know that.
Yeah, when you're
heard
going.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not too sure. I've never seen it, so.
And it's so quiet there, and it reminded me of some of the moments in the film when the camera was close up on Josh, and he was just sitting there thinking. And there's nothing else in the soundtrack happening. It's just him thinking, going through his thoughts. That it was so nice and peaceful. And then you combine that with the great scenery. Like I had said, my parents and I would drive from Mackenzie to Saskatchewan. And those trips where you get to see the flatlands, you get to go through Grand Prairie and... not Lethbridge, I want to say Vanderhoof is west, but Grand Prairie through to Edmonton, and then from Edmonton all the way to Prince Albert. And a big shout out to all my friends and family out there in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. My mom was and still is a big fan of the Tragically Hip, and I can remember one of the albums she would play over and over was Fully Completely. And especially the title song. It's probably my favorite Tragically Hip song. Mm-hmm. And we'd be driving through and it would be a cloudy, rainy, sometimes thundery day. And that song would be on. And that defined my memory of traveling to Prince Albert. That miserable rainy weather and that nice song on. So that, and I had been from here, from Vancouver, I had traveled to Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario by bus, by Greyhound bus. Took 3 days straight.
Yeah, that took about that long.
Oh, but it's such a great thing to do because I had said in a previous podcast that we had gone through Winnipeg, and it's such an interesting place to see. Like, if you get the chance, please go.
That's been on my list for Canadian cities to go to.
It's really neat. It's a really cool city.
It's such a interesting, like, for in terms of, like, cultural like tiny little cultural, like just the culture there, honestly. That's what I'm getting at, is that it's such an interesting place to go to and to just interact and
When I drove through there, I didn't stay there for too long, but it definitely left an impression.
Yeah,
like not every Canadian city left an impression, but that one definitely did. I was like, ooh, I definitely need to
go back.
I need to go back, like, very only a couple cities when I drove across. So.
Isn't like what Scott, like, isn't he from
Winnipeg? Scott's like somebody he's the only Winnipeg person that I actually know. Derek Robitaille was born in he was born in Winnipeg.
How about that?
I guess we can't go during winter, but no, like, let's just go in the summer. So you like Winnipeg that much? You've been there a lot? Or
no just, it was just quick, it was quick. Once through, okay. That's it. Okay. And I wish we could have stayed longer, or that I could remember more of it, but I'm glad I took that trip so I could see that, so I could be here to tell you to go there and see that.
Isn't like isn't Tragically Hip like the best driving music? Like, it's in terms
great.
Of that
is
playing
great.
Anything Tragically Hip just feels like the best driving road
just
trip
about.
Music.
It depends on where you
it
are
just works.
And what the weather is, because sometimes it'll just click to these completely different
it'll
things.
It'll sync up really well.
And I think that had Josh, the main character, not purchase the motorcycle, he wouldn't have entered these other people's lives, or like the nurse that he was supposed to see, she wouldn't have been killed on the other train because she took a different train because he didn't show up for his appointment. So it's all these little choices that we decide to make that can change other people's lives in a small way, which can change other people's lives in a big way. So what if he had not purchased that motorcycle? What if that guy who was selling the motorcycle had been in his garage with the door closed for another 10 minutes? Josh would have gone right by. So, and it's strange that with his diagnosis, he decides he needs to get away and have an adventure. Not a vacation, an adventure. And it's strange that some people have to think that way to die in order to live. Like, he wants to live life, and all of a sudden this diagnosis of cancer has given him that chance to go on that adventure. Because had he not been diagnosed, he'd still be in school teaching, and it'd be boring, and he'd be living his mundane life. He would have gotten married, and he was still going to get married, which is cool, but he wouldn't have met those people. He wouldn't have influenced their lives. It's kind of like I think that's why some people are drawn to apocalyptic and zombie films, because it gets them out of their mundane life, and all of a sudden it's much more exciting because you have to fight for survival, but you've also got this sense of freedom, and that's what he had, at least temporarily on his journey, was this temporary sense of freedom, getting away from what he was locked into. Love that film.
Yeah. Awesome. Nice. Alrighty. So Jack's been waiting patiently for his turn, so let's hear your thoughts.
I think it's kind of suiting because I was the only other person to have previously seen this film before we watched it today. And yeah, I was really looking forward to watching this again, just given the fact that I have recently did a road trip across Canada, west to east, not east to west, as in what Joshua Jackson's character did. But yeah.
So you rolled up that Tim Hortons cup.
That'd be James.
It's a go east.
Go east, boy. Boy.
No, that was my buddy.
Go east.
My buddy who I was traveling with was moving to Montreal, so he got that.
I know. You went there and then you flew back for my wedding.
Yeah, I flew back and then filmed your wedding, man. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks, bro. it was really nice. I was really excited to see this movie again, and upon seeing it again, I my opinion of it still stays the same. I really, 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 really do like this movie. I immediately want to go to one of the things that Andrew was saying about how he felt certain moments, particularly when it was traveling, dragged and all that. And to be perfectly honest, those were the moments that I actually those sunk in more for me than the interactions with individuals, because since I've made that trip, I kind of know what he's feeling like. It's that sense of, like, as Alex was alluding to, when you have no responsibilities, you've kind of are just letting go. Mm-hmm. And there's a sense of, like, I don't know, it's just calming. It's very, I don't know, it is free. It's, you feel free. You feel like the weight of the world's off your shoulders, and you're just experiencing your surroundings, and especially driving across Canada, as Andrew, you said as well, how there's just so many different types of landscapes everywhere across this country. And you really do take it in when you're on those quiet moments, there's nothing going on, and you're just looking around, you're just seeing the world, and you're seeing something you've never seen before. You've heard about it in stories, and now you're actually finally taking it in, and it's a hard feeling to explain, but it feels very, very rewarding when it's all said and done. You know, like the moments, like whenever he would go to spots that I saw, like when he went to the Terry Fox Monument, yeah. I stood in the exact same spot that he was standing, and seeing that was, I don't know, it just hits you home in a way that, you know, reading about Terry Fox or anything like that in school or finding out in assemblies, when you actually go to that spot, it suddenly hits you. And those are those moments that you feel like that I felt throughout the whole trip. You finally see something and it hits you. And I feel like that's what the whole movie was about. Those little moments. Now, it's not all about just he hit a moment at this city, hit a moment at this city. Those quiet moments take up most of your time. And I feel like it needs to be shown in this movie how it was shown, because those are actually the most, to me, the more important ones, because it's just you by yourself. It's you and your thoughts. You get to think about, your mind can go AWOL into like other things, like to completely off topic, or you're focused on what the movie, what he was thinking about, whether it's, does he still love his wife, his future wife? Has he made it, has he done anything with his life and all that? So yeah, no, and I'll sum up my opinion of the movie right now. It's just, it's one of those movies, again, that has no plot or story BS. It is a movie that doesn't really have a plot, really. It's really just, you've seen this character's life in 1 week. That's it. There's not really, yeah, there was some character interactions with his wife that, you know, added some drama to it, but it wasn't the emotional push. It wasn't the arc of the movie. It was just about him reflecting on his life and what, did he get everything he wanted to do out of it? Did he accomplish everything? And needing these moments just to reflect on yourself, I think are really important for this character. And yeah, those moments where he was by himself and just alone, I can relate to that, because I would think those too. You know, you're just driving and it's the right songs on, and you just seen, you know, the scenery, and you just, I don't know, it's a very calming feeling. And I don't know, but overall, my opinion of the movie is I love it. I think it's great. I think in the fact that I don't see this many movies about Canada, showing Canada this way, where it is like an American movie talking about Americana or different cities, like everyone knows it. Well, not everyone in, say, Europe or anything knows about America, but America presented it as is, because America's, you know, they're always put themselves up at a high stature. But seeing a Canadian movie presented like this, it I don't know, it does make, as a Canadian, it does mean a little bit more to me. So there is that little pride there. And it, I don't know, I just, it's, I had a, I, it's one of these movies that you just have a smile on your face the whole time, and you're just enjoying the ride.
I think that's like something you could definitely notice around the table here, is that everybody's related it to something in their life because we're Canadian. So you've had like, yeah, I remember this, and yeah, it totally matches that. It's just, that's the part that makes me wonder, if I were American, you know, if I were American, I watch this movie, would I still enjoy it? It's like a question that I really have.
It's a fair
right?
question.
Like,
and I guess we're all kind of biased at the table here. So
yeah,
we
don't have that.
Hard to argue that.
Not to say that like you have to make a movie for everybody. It could just be a movie for Canadians, which is like, it kind of, honestly, it does seem that way. But
if it only made $500,000, then, or actually, or didn't even make $500,000, lost $1.5 million.
That's so sad.
That's sad. I don't like that. I don't think a movie that like tried and tried really hard to have an identity and had its own identity deserves that. But
so just to cut in, so The Room is a film for the people of, what was it, San Francisco?
Yes, dude. The Room is, see, there's a reason why The Room connects with an international audience.
Yes, there is.
There's a reason his awkwardness, it transcends any culture.
He's
weird to everybody.
So badness is just universal.
Absolutely.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, greatness and awfulness are both universal. But no, like this film, like that's the thing though, is that I just wonder, you know, if you strip away, I'm wondering if you strip away all the stuff that makes that just feels like, because there are moments in the film where it feels like it's almost like trying so hard to make you as a Canadian be like, oh yeah, like totally, like this, oh this is so great, it's tugging at your heartstrings because you're a Canadian. I drink Tim Hortons.
Destiny is decided literally by like a Tim Hortons cup.
It was a Tim, like, you know, you joked about it, Zach, during the film. You were like, it'd be hilarious if this, he said it'd be hilarious if this film just ended and it was like a Tim Hortons ad, like for Canada, because that's like Tim Hortons does ads like that where they're just like, oh, Canada, we're Canadian, and here's some hockey, here's some, you know, another stereotype, right, this and that, because like we do play into a lot of those stereotypes. Right. So like, I don't know, it's just, that's why I'm so conflicted, because like, as much as like I agree that I from what I can tell, we all like this film to varying degrees. But I'm so wondering, if you strip away the fact that we're Canadian, would this be the same discussion?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think so. Because I think that's honestly, and I mentioned it and you had mentioned it too, and we've all kind of mentioned it, that the strong point of this movie is obviously Canada, right? That's the whole venture and going, oh, there's that, there's this. Or even if you don't know, you recognize that it's your country and stuff like that.
Well, but like for me, the Canadian stuff like is all great, and like it inspires me to go out and do more and all that stuff. But for me, like the like high points of the movie are, is this character being, he's basically like he finds out he's gonna die, and so he's basically finding himself having to make decisions that he never thought, never expected he would have had to make. And I guess like you were saying, Zach, I guess this has been done in lots of other movies before, but I probably just haven't seen them.
Hey, and that makes a lot of sense. I mean,
or at least certainly not as many. But like I enjoyed the weight of that. Like I thought Joshua Jackson, like Alex was saying, in like his quiet moments where like he's just sitting in front of the camera, there's no sound, he's just thinking, and you're reading his face. Like I thought he did an excellent job with that. And just kind of exploring his relationships with everything he's leaving behind. He's reevaluating his life, his priorities, what's important to him. That is more what resonates with me. And I mean, I'm sure it's been done, and it could very well have been done better in other movies, but I really, really love how it's carried out in here.
I mean that's what I like too a lot, was like the relationships and stuff like that, and what he was leaving behind. That was the other strong point for me, was that as well.
They did develop the relationship between him and his wife pretty well. Like
they had good chemistry too. I like that.
I also wanted to mention how going off of again what you were saying, Andrew, about how if you stripped away
our Canadian bias, let's just
Canadian
say it.
Bias. Sorry about that. basically, I sort of see it as, if there's not a whole lot of movies that have Canada such in the forefront, as almost like it's a character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, it's like Canada is a starring role in this movie.
And, but to the point that it's like kind of like it feels...
Overly patriotic.
I'm looking for the word, to the point where it's pandering. It feels like it's pandering to a Canadian audience. Like, Tim Hortons, Stanley Cup.
Boils down to the fact that as a country and as citizens of this country, like, we're not the most overly patriotic country. We're actually pretty reserved in showing how much.
But I think Canadians are hugely patriotic.
Oh no, they are. But compared to say the USA,
it's
not even a contest. Like the fact that Stephen Harper,
we don't show it as much.
No, but like we have these few cultural icons that we all kind of rally around and be like, "Yep, that's like we're this huge diverse country with so many different things going on." But we can all agree that we like Tim Hortons and hockey.
People get like really defensive about their hockey teams. I would never cheer for whatever. But honestly, even if like, you know, teams that have fan bases that hate the other team, like Toronto I wouldn't say so much in Montreal. So let's say like Toronto or Vancouver, where there's fan bases that just hate the other fan base, right? Mm-hmm. But if they went to the Stanley Cup, like Canadians would rally behind them. I firmly believe that they would, because you get to the point where you're like, no, I want Canada to win. I want something good to happen for Canada. And that's I feel like that's Canadians. They have that general feeling.
I'm not saying we're not patriotic at all. Yeah. Far from it. It's just when you see certain movies, and you see, especially like, you know, you and I, Zach, we've watched a ton of movies.
Yeah.
Whether it's, and particularly with American films, if there's an American theme and it's about America, it is like USA, USA, about this country, standing in front of the flag. With us, it's almost like we almost have to have permission to show.
We're too polite.
We're a little too polite about that sort of thing. Sorry. So
do you really think it's that, or it's the fact that we know if we do that, it won't be successful?
I think it's a little bit of both because it
alienates the American audience, which is essential.
And that is a big thing. Like I had the same problem when I was writing my first feature, The Next Step.
Yeah.
I was the one character traveled around, was going hopping from school to school to school to school.
Yeah.
And obviously the movie took place in Vancouver, but I was like, oh, I kind of want her being everywhere to show some American cities and some Canadian cities. And the writer was rhyming. I was like, why does it have to be American? I was like, well, I don't want to just be America, but if we just have Canadian cities, the American audience is not going to know what we're talking about.
That's the thing. And I was going to mention, too, that a lot of, like, because you were saying, like, obviously it's very rare to see Canada as a character in a movie or to be presented like, oh, it's in Canada. It's all set here. Yeah, I find a lot of even Canadian films being made are Americanized, right? They want to play towards America because that's the selling market.
Or they don't want to admit that they're in fact in Canada, kind of like
Kick-Ass.
Exactly.
I was going to suggest another cancer movie, 50-50, where they sloppily turn Vancouver into Seattle, just with a nice Space Needle photoshopped into the background on like Cambie Street,
very Room-esque.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, but like, and that's the thing. Like, I feel like I don't know. Like, certain we are almost embarrassed to be like Canada, unless it's like for sports or for something that, you know, it's
you're
a group event.
Yeah,
it's something that's naturally patriotic. Like,
well,
because
the world sees us as like America's like little cousin or something. So it's like America like makes all these movies, and then it's like Canada's like me too. But like,
I think they use I think that the saying is not quite as polite as that. Mm-hmm. I think they don't call us their little cousin. I think they call us something more offensive.
Oh yeah,
America's hat. I've heard
something that I'm not going to say.
Well,
on
yeah,
podcast, but I've heard it a lot, though. Yeah. Surprisingly, I've heard it from a lot of Americans. I've heard it from, you know, because usually it's comedians saying it because it can be edgy that way. Mm-hmm. But like, it's a common like sentiment is that like Canada's just kind of like
America light.
Duh. Yeah. They're just like, Canada, oh, I don't know. We're just up here. Yeah. I don't know. You do you. Like,
up in Canada. Canada.
That's terrible.
I don't know, maybe because I grew up on like near the border, it makes a difference, but like to me, but it's like, come on, guys, be more realistic.
Yeah. I will say, like, just to kind of go off of what I was also alluding to is that, yeah, it's just there's not a whole lot of films I also feel like represent Canada accurately.
Right.
Whether anything that's shown as Canadian is usually making fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
Any sort of like American show or anything, they're going to Canada. It's just what is the funniest thing or all the stereotypes. You know, beavers, lumberjacks, about all that stuff. Yeah. Maple syrup, living in igloos, you name it.
You can't even Canadian stereotype right.
I know, I can't even say that right. Yeah. But I remember like even like The Simpsons are like, we're going to Vancouver, Canada's warmest city, and all that. And just that's all I hear.
The tropical paradise of Canada.
It really is.
Is that wrong though?
It's like, not at all.
It's not. It's really not. Compared to how much snow we get, not even close.
No, it's literally why we have so many homeless people here is because it's such temperate weather.
Very recently, actually, it's not very, you know, it's very just kind of
it's within like a small range of temperatures that we have from summer to winter.
Oh, yeah, because everywhere else is extremes. It's like I was saying,
hot,
like back home
hot.
In Moncton, it's like, oh yeah, it'll go like -30 and then it'll be like +35 in the summer.
Yeah.
It's a way hotter than here in the summer, but then obviously freezing in comparison to our winters.
Yeah. I'll finish my point though, is that I feel like the strength of this movie being very Canadian, I think helps it A, stand out, but B, also being a very accurate representation of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And if I ever wanted to show someone who's from the US, who's from whatever country around the world, hey, what's a movie that actually that shows your country or accurate representation, I can't really think of any other movie that
I can.
Which one?
Bon Cop Bad Cop, I think, does a better job. I think it does a better job of showing the. Oh, okay. Well, you should watch it because it nails the bilingual element, and it shows English and French Canada in a way that it's also damn good.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's actually just straight. If you strip out the, that's why this movie I feel a little conflicted on, because with Bon Cop Bad Cop, if you strip out, like, even though French and English are core to the film. If you strip out the Canadian element, like obviously the language you can't because that's just how film works, but you take out the Canadian element and it's still just a really fun, good movie. So like the dialogue is good, the jokes are funny, the plot, the driving force for the plot is a interesting, like fun ride, regardless to where it's set. But then it has all that Canadian identity in bucketfuls, but not in a way where it feels like it's pandering to you.
It's not relying on it.
It's not, well, it doesn't feel like it's pandering. Like it didn't have that those constant Tim Hortons moments or whatever where it feels like it's sponsored by Tim Hortons. Mm-hmm. It didn't have that as much. Like I can't remember it having that. No. It's been a while, but you know, that's a film where I think of that. There's another film, I'll just mention it, but the Rocket feels like it has that Canadian identity in spades. Like, I feel like it really says a lot about Canada. Not quite to the extent of Bon Cop, Bad Cop, but still, like, it has a lot of that identity in there without being pandering.
Mm-hmm. The Rocket more goes into the relationship with English and French-speaking Canadians. Mm-hmm. It shows, like, both the darker side and also the good side. And
it's a little more focused, a little less broad, I'll say. But, like, I don't know that I would show this particular film to somebody who's like, I want to see like a Canada film, like a film that shows Canada. But I'd be like, nah, I think there's something else.
I almost disagree with that because I feel like with this movie,
but you're skipping the Maritimes. You're skipping the Maritimes. See a lot of Canada's major cities.
That's fair. No, that's fair. Yeah. But I feel like with this movie is that it's not like I said, the when I mentioned that this movie doesn't really have a plot, that wasn't a knack on it.
No.
Like most real good movies that don't rely on plot, rely on story, it helps them make them feel timeless.
Yeah.
And I feel like this movie is not something where the plot, if we were just going based off Canada, we're describing Canada and all that. Like I said, I haven't seen Bon Cop, Bad Cop, so I can't make any argument against that one. But I feel like with this movie, when you're describing Bon Cop, Bad Cop, or The Rocket, there's more of the plot with the fighting and all that. Whereas this one is more just like, it is almost like a map to the country. Here are all the little tidbits. Here are all the little small things that make this country great. Mm-hmm. And it goes across the whole thing instead of it just being the East Coast. You know, that's the one thing. Like most Canada movies, they stay in Ontario or Quebec.
Yeah,
that's
typically. Really sure. About yeah, it. Big cities, right?
Yeah, so yeah. To that's go true, west, too. That's almost
it
a
did give some
too.
Love to parts of Canada that typically
yeah,
don't.
Yeah, and I also feel like this one, this movie is very much, you can watch this with your family.
Yeah.
You can sit down with your kids, and I feel like, I don't know, to me it's more of a group movie where I feel like the other two movies you're mentioning are more like, you can get more out of it than just, oh, it happens to take place in Canada. This movie, Canada, you can't take Canada out of it. It's too ingrained. So that's why I mean, like, in terms of representing our country, because the focus of this movie is almost, like, the whole setting, Canada's almost a character. I almost feel like it can't help but be the movie you almost want to, like, hey, you want to see what Canada is in a nutshell. Not, oh, let's watch this really cool movie that takes place in Canada, and they reference Canada, and they reference Canadian ideals. No, this movie is, like, half about Joshua Jackson's character, and then the rest of it is Canada. And to me, that's why I feel like this movie is much more essential to show to people who say, who haven't seen, who want to know, hey, pick a movie, what's Canada? I would say start with 1 week. I feel like it's something you can get into. Anyone can really get into it. It's simple, it's fun, and it's entertaining. It's nothing that, it doesn't really challenge your ideals. It doesn't make you have plot twists. It doesn't rely on, you know, plot contrivances and all that. It's just, again, a guy driving across. It's as simple as that. And I feel like that's the biggest strength of this movie.
I guess one thing I wanted to say about that, too, is that I guess it depends on, you know, if you wanted to show somebody Canada, what kind of Canada are they looking for? Are they looking for geography or are they looking for, like, Canadians?
Yeah, that's why it's hard to argue. Yeah. It's like, well, it's yeah, if you're talking about most Canada, then sure. Here's the most Canada.
Yeah, here's the geography.
Movie,
this is the right? layout.
It's not just geography.
But if you're looking at, like, a
feeling.
Core... But the feeling of Canada, that's the thing. Like, the like being bilingual is
huge.
Such a unique... Mm. Like, the system we have, English and French here, with Quebec being such an oddity in Canada by North American standards, right? Because America doesn't really have that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so integral to Canada, that relationship that we have, that, like, I feel like it's a lot deeper of a topic to explore than something that's like, here's just a map of Canada. Like, if we wanted to, like, educate the U.S. to, like, be able to point out where, you know, major points of Canada, at least get the provinces lined up correctly, then cool, show them this movie. But, like, I don't know. Like, if you're just talking about, like, I want somebody to know more about the landscape of Canada, I can agree with that. But if you're talking about, like, Canadian identity, I feel like just these other movies do it because they have a better plot. They do manage to really delve into Canadian issue, real serious Canadian issues and dynamics a lot better than this, because that doesn't do that. It just has like, it's like Canadian, like just random Canadian pop-ups. It's like, here's this, here's this, here's this, here's this. Look at this, look at this. This is all Canadian, right?
Yeah, but
it doesn't delve any, it's all superficial that way.
Well, yeah, because I don't think the, like, because you guys have been going on and on about the geographical aspects of the film, and I mean, yeah, obviously, like, this movie definitely throws Canada in your face, but I feel like I wanted to go back and touch a little bit more on, like, the actual, like, story elements, because I don't really think that's been actually...
Yeah, because Jack kind of got away
that's
from
that. That's hardly been discussed, and honestly, we're not going to come to a resolution on this whole issue. I mean, like, you raised a great point with the, if you removed our Canadian biases from the film, how would it hold up? And we're not going to get an answer to that because we're all kind of on the
same. It's impossible. That's why I said I wonder, because there's no way I'm going
exactly,
to be
able
to
figure that out. Exactly, yeah, but I feel like it kind of just snowballed out of control from there.
They call
and we're
Marie.
Like, I don't think at this table is where we're going to decide the best Canadian identity
film.
No, but
it's still an interesting discussion.
Oh, no, it is.
Just because it's like, it's interesting to wonder, right? It's
two different sides of
Canada. Yeah, like, I of course we're not going to, like, all see eye to eye.
But in my, what I, was kind of fascinated with is that the more the character motivation.
So the plot.
Well, yeah, but basically, there's one thing. There's not a whole lot of information on this movie online, but what I did manage to scrounge up, amongst the whopping 7 ratings on Rotten Tomatoes,
all by Canadian outlets.
I believe so. Yes, it totals an average of a 57%. So there's four fresh, 3 rotten.
Yeah,
but one of the rotten reviewers, basically is just like, oh great, another movie that glorifies impulsiveness, selfishness, and narcissism. So I was wondering what
Armin
you guys
is it Armin White?
I didn't actually check the name. I should have checked written down the
that's
name
funny.
Of the person, but
well, it's like have
hilarious.
A good critique, you know,
a,
like,
yeah,
I mean,
shitty,
it's fine if you don't like it, but like,
yeah,
don't
know?
Be an asshole. Just for the sake of being
like,
an
did
asshole
you, did you not watch the movie? Like,
yeah,
I mean, there's a reason.
Yeah,
well, yeah, and I feel like the point is like, it's put in a position where there isn't really a right decision.
No.
And and ultimately he does have to do what's best for himself. And I mean, he does end up temporarily, I guess, like, you know, worrying his family and worrying his fiance and all of that. But I mean, they make it quite clear that that's not, like, it's not, he's just like, oh, I'm dying, so fuck everything. Like, he's trying to separate himself to basically come to terms with what he's about to face before he kind of rejoins the real world.
Yeah.
For it, like, in his mind, like, who knows, like, he could only be rejoining it for a couple of months or so, and then that's it. So.
Yeah, I always find that really compelling. Like, honestly, what you're saying there, I think that it's always interesting when people like get diagnosed with an illness like this, and everybody else starts to react like in a selfish way, honestly, in a way where it's arguable, it's debatable as to, you know, who's in the right in these instances, but a lot of times people will take over the patient's life, right? And they'll basically want them to do what they want, right? As opposed to what that person wants. So, like, I think it delves into that pretty well,
because we get into the like the flashbacks and stuff and the narration, which actually, that's another thing I kind of liked, is you typically, I don't really go for narration in movies, but I feel like with this one, it, with the way the story was told, I mean, it was kind of choppy in parts, but I feel like that almost kind of worked, just the because it felt kind of hectic, kind of haphazard. Like, it felt like you were actually, like, going on this journey with this guy, experiencing, like, these memories mm-hmm. as they come up for him. Like, it was, like it is a little bit choppy, a little bit clunky, but at the same time, like, it felt natural. So I'm not saying that as a knock against the movie. Anyway, I had a different point before I started going off on the narration.
You were talking about the review. The review where you said it had that criticism. It has 57%.
Yeah.
And
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, just it's also just kind of food for thought. Like, you know, what would you do in that situation if you're faced with like something life changing or possibly life ending, where you suddenly have to reevaluate everything you thought you knew? Like, that's a heck of a task for. Mm-hmm. Heck of a test for anybody. So I mean, there's certainly I'm sure there's gonna be a few tears in a situation like that from someone or other. Yeah. But you kind of just have to take it as it comes, I suppose, which is exactly what he does. But it's interesting to think about. It's like if you were in kind of that position, it's the first line of the movie is, what would you do if you had one day, one week, one month to live? And that's one of the last lines in the movie too. And I feel like that's ultimately the message here. And it does tie into the whole Canada thing as well, because it's like, we have this fantastic, beautiful backyard of a country. And, you know, if you found out you just had a couple of weeks to live, it's like, why not get the hell out there mm-hmm. and absorb, take in as much of it as you can?
Yeah. You know, so, like, looking at it from the plot perspective, I think that it's funny, we actually already mentioned a movie that I think does that in a far more interesting way for me 50-50. I think that movie tackled the whole I have this rare form of cancer, I'm a young guy, like, it's literally doing the exact same, like, at least initial plot. It takes it in a different direction than this one did. Mm-hmm. This one went full Canada. That yeah. one obviously went in a more personal story based direction. Mm-hmm. And I love that movie. I actually think it was really,
I think it's very good.
It's very good. It almost made me it made me tear up, you know, go a little bitch out a little bit, you know, whatever. But it was really. It really impacted me, because that's the point. And this one, like, I feel like, so if I strip out that part and I just focus, like you say, on the plot, I keep feeling like, oh, I've seen it done better elsewhere, for me personally. But that's saying that it is a good it is an interesting plot. Because, I've just seen it done better for me.
Because I feel like 50-50, he's kind of, I've only seen it once. So, I mean, I might not I maybe didn't stick with me as well then, but, I like the, in this one, the idea of like separating yourself, taking yourself out of your element to completely be with yourself and your thoughts. And like, and in 50-50, you still have the character. He stays in his hometown. He's still surrounded by his friends and people that he knows. I mean, I don't think we get that kind of inner kind of soul searching vibe from that movie that you do from this one.
I would personally disagree with that, just because, like, I think that whole movie is him doing that soul searching with relationships, with everything.
I think they both do it. It's just
they just do it in different ways. I think it's like how people would react differently to this kind of news. You wouldn't. You would get the guy who'd want to just like drive an insane amount of kilometers away, and then you'd get the person who does, you know, isn't going to leave his life and uproot his life that way, but at the same time is going to have this same journey internally. So I think that everybody deals with it differently. We don't of all course, do the same stuff. So I think it tackles the same issue. It just does it differently. And I guess whichever appeals more to you, or which one you think was done more like in a way that you can relate with, that probably impacts that. So I can agree with that. So for me, it's 50-50, and I guess, and for you, it would be this film. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, if it's the question of what would you do if you had 1 week to live, and that's the thing, is it's different for, you know, depending on who you are and what your interests are.
Well, yeah,
are,
it's
right?
like this film kind of goes to show there isn't really a right answer.
Oh, for sure,
I think there's a bare naked ladies theme here. And here's why. Here's why. So, obviously, 1 week, as Zach mentioned, but the question of what would you do if you had 1 week to live is similar to the question of what would you do if you had $1 million?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's the Bare Naked Lady connection.
Damn, man.
And there is no right answer because it's all down to the individual.
Yeah.
With Josh's character, once he got that news, I think that his impulsive initial reaction was to get out. I got to go. I got to think about this. I got to go. I got to get away from my wife-to-be, from my family. I got to go. I got to go somewhere else and process this. And so that's what he did. So I can understand why one of the film reviewers from Rotten Tomatoes used the word impulsiveness, because I think that was an impulsive thing to do, was mm-hmm. to get out, because this is a life-altering thing.
Mm-hmm.
You trust in the information of your doctor. Now, true, he only got one opinion. We don't see him going to any other doctors. So could it have been a misdiagnosis like he had speculated in the film? Maybe, but he trusted his doctor. He went with that information and he acted on it. And I think it's kind of wrong to base an important kind of end-of-life choice on a roll-up-the-rim-to-win comment from a coffee cup. But to each their own. Mm-hmm. I think that the relationship with him and his fiance, I think they really got to know each other because of his diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they thought they knew each other. Yes, but when you get that kind of life-changing information, that kind of changes how you see the person, especially with regards to how they react mm-hmm. to that information and how they go back and forth when they're in Banff at the hotel
mm-hmm.
and they're talking about, oh, it's a tough thing to do. And I'm not sure that if I was in the same position, I would have made the same choices
mm-hmm.
as Josh's character, especially in the beginning. Like, he chose to leave.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would have made that decision. Because of who I am, I probably would have gone directly into treatment, because I would have put more of my hope and faith into the medical system.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to go to that eventually because he had said so,
mm-hmm.
but there's this adventure within him that he has to deal with first. That's more impulsiveness than dealing with the cancer that's eventually going to take his life.
Right.
Yeah, as they make it clear, like, he's never really done anything kind of impulsive or like this. He was always kind of, mm-hmm. he always kind of gave up at the first sign of adversity, and then he suddenly realizes, oh shit, if not now, then there might not be a later.
Yeah. If not now, when?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I do think, going off of what you were saying, the movie does kind of allude to that, where not directly, but they brought that up twice, where when it comes down to, like, when they ask you, what are your chances? And you only have 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, you need to take that number out because it's by person.
Right.
And I feel like that kind of goes with how we would all react to this situation. Mm-hmm. You know, one person, Joshua Jackson, he decides, I need to go. You were describing, I want to get this fixed immediately. And I think that's one of the things that this movie definitely did tackle on, is like, well, everyone's going to react to this news differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good point.
But I do feel there is a common thread, though, in that it causes you to soul search.
Mm-hmm.
Like, getting news like mm-hmm. that, there's no way that you're not going to reflect on your life.
On mm-hmm. what's important
when,
to you.
When you start to see the end, like, when the end feels like it's close, closer than you thought, you reflect on what you have to lose. It's a natural human emotion that everybody will have when they have that. Like you said, these were my first initial thoughts that went through my head. I gotta do this. I gotta do this. Like, this is my life. What life have I created for myself? And I feel like that's the common thread, though. And all the movies that deal with like a sudden cancer diagnosis, they all explore that same theme in different ways, yeah, but they still all end up being films about soul searching.
Yep.
All of them. That's the common thread. So 50-50 is exactly like this movie in that they both mm-hmm. were about soul searching.
Yep.
you know, and obviously you would too. It's hard not to when you're going through something like that.
Kiru also.
Well, yeah, and I was going to say too is that that's also the difference between films yet again is like what would you do depends on who you are, right? Like
but Joshua Jackson would leave
and no matter what.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so like I feel like so like I guess to kind of like to say when I think it was done better, I'm not saying like for me emotionally, I'm not saying it's because of the reaction. I'm saying it's because which one tackled that soul searching element, that emotional soul search. I felt like they really got to the heart of that in like say something like 50-50 or some other films that I've seen than it was in this one, where I felt like the emotion didn't hit that high point. Like at no point did I feel emotionally like overcome or close to it. I always felt like, you know, just invested, which is great.
I feel like the cancer diagnosis was almost treated, not entirely because it was still there, but it was
quick.
It was very much like a MacGuffin.
I was just about to say,
it is the plot device that gets the plot going.
There you go, and then away we go.
we off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a cancer diagnosis is kind of that way. Like when you get it, you get it, and it's like done real quick, and then it's the stuff.
But I
kind of
like that. They don't really waste any time like bullshitting around, showing us his life and like his day to day routine, and then it's just like, oh hey, your day to day routine is about to have a nice big wrench thrown into it. It's kind of just like, well, congratulations, you're fucked. Here's a movie.
I wonder what the film would have been like had we had 5 or 10 minutes to see what his life would have been like leading up to that diagnosis, because I think if they would have established a kind of lighthearted, not quick pace, but a good pace. Then the diagnosis, which stops everything and changes direction. So I think they did the right thing by starting with the diagnosis, which gets you hooked and it stops.
And
the
way that they like exposit it shows everything through flashbacks. I feel like it works in this movie.
Absolutely,
because it's easy to do that to make a mess of that and overdo it or do it wrong. But for this one, I feel like it works.
Yeah, I think anything like adding a prologue, a 5-10 minute prologue would have just made this movie feel a lot more melodramatic and overdone.
And a lot of movies have done that. I mean, again, going back to the like other movies have done this plot, that's what they do, right? Yeah. It's always the, oh, hey, I'm living this normal life, and then, oh shit, you know, here's this train and I got to deal with it, right?
Yeah,
and like it still managed to effectively get across, oh, this is what my life was like through, you know, just visions of the past, stuff like that. It's like, oh, this is you
sometimes
still get
it's even
that.
Just like a couple second shots and you still like get I like that idea. Just like little glimpses,
me and her in the coffee shop, me and her, like, you know, it gets that across, and I don't think that was a problem.
All right, so I mean we have a lot of good talking points, a lot of nice variants of thoughts on this movie, but it's about time to wrap up our episode here, so let's get everybody's final opinions.
I mean, as I say, I do like it. It's not a bad movie. In terms of if it's underrated, wait, what? Tim Hortons.
I wasn't doing anything.
Oh, I thought you were looking at me, Andrew, and you were like almost like showcasing
that's,
the cup.
You're no,
like,
this is a McDonald's.
It's a McDonald's cup. Oh, it's a dollar right now. So
well, hey,
of course I'm gonna buy it.
It's starting to take over. That
McDonald's
chill coffee,
box
though.
McDonald's.
This is not at all in any way sponsored by Tim Hortons.
But man, you were showing it off. You were like, hey,
or McDonald's.
Zach, how about you talk about this cup? Going back to the movie, it's not a bad movie, but I can definitely see why, you know, a lot of people didn't see it, because obviously there's the, you know, it doesn't have like a big actor, doesn't have a big crazy plot or anything like that, and so I could see why people didn't see it, and I don't think it's quite underrated, but at the same time, because of the varying opinions and things like that at the table, I think because it's almost like, yeah, some people really like it and some just think it's like okay or good.
Did it deserve to make more than $488,000?
Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, yeah, like, I mean, if you catch it, you know, definitely, I mean, you know, watch it if it's on TV or what have you. And like I said, some people really like it, as you can, you know, hear from the discussions we had today. But personally, I thought it was good. But I don't know if it was necessarily underrated. That's kind of where I'm at, personally.
Okay, fair enough. Sounds good. What do you think, Andrew?
The question being, is it underrated? I would have to say yeah, just because it it's obviously going to alienate an American audience. So I understand it. Like, the only way it's going to be successful is if all of Canada comes out to see it, which obviously didn't happen.
No.
And, you know, I think it deserved more than what it got. Like, it definitely deserved to at least, like, break even or turn a profit, at least some. Like, I don't think it deserved to be a runaway success because mm-hmm. it's not quite that movie.
A runaway.
But it is underrated because nobody saw it, it seems like. So I think that it deserves to be seen by Canadians. I'm gonna preface it with that. I'm gonna say, if you're a Canadian and you get a chance to see this movie, it's worth a watch. If you're an American and you want to take a chance on, you know, you want to experience some of Canada, which doesn't ever seem to be the case, then check out this movie. But if you're wanting to watch it just for, like, the plot, the story, for me personally, I think you could see a better movie, to be honest. Like, you could see a movie that's done it better. So I think it's underrated in the context of the film itself, like what it accomplished. So yeah, but I think it's good, but not great.
All right, hopefully moving on to a little bit more of a positive note, Alex.
Oh yeah, eh? I loved it. Like I said before, I think it should be seen. I'm sorry to the filmmakers that I did not see it in theaters when it came out. If you said 488,000 divided by 10, that's what, 48,000 people who saw it. If it was $10 seeing it in the theater,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I'm sorry, I wasn't one of those 48,000.
Apologize to Joshua Jackson.
Josh, you were great. I apologize.
Making up for it now, though.
Here's your triple cheeseburger.
Damn, damn, damn.
Damn, damn, damn.
And I do think it's underrated, particularly because I hadn't seen it before this point in time. And because only 48,000 out of approximately 30 million in this country had seen it, that, to me, puts it in the underrated category. I like the pacing. I love the shots. I think the narration, the voice for the narration, was a very interesting choice, because when I first heard the narration, I thought, that's not Josh's voice. And then I learned it was Campbell Scott. So now I'm interested to know more about Campbell Scott's. And I think, looking back on the film, great choice for narration. I'm glad it was him. The film has a Canadian feel to it, but it's not a classical Canadian feel. I think it's more of a modern Canadian feel. And I don't know how to describe it except to say, if you watch Canadian films or television from the 70s, the 80s, even the early 90s, it's got a different feel to it. This is quite far removed from those films and TV shows of the past. That's all I can really say on how it looks and how it feels, but it's a great film. It should be seen.
Awesome. Sounds more about up my personal alley, but maybe I'm just a little bit more biased. Jack, what do you think?
I really dig this movie. I definitely think I definitely think it's underrated, both in Canada and, I guess, around the world, everywhere else. It's a fun ride. It's a movie, as I like to describe it, it's a movie that you just have a smile on your face the whole time. It's inoffensive. It's not, I see where Andrew and Zach are coming from. It's not like, oh my God, you got to go see this. This is amazing. I think it's a really, really solid movie. I think it is almost, if you were to say, pick 10 movies that, you know, about Canada, that have Canada as a central theme, or it's prominent, definitely it's on that list. I think just mainly because the Canadian film scene and where Canada is a main character, obviously is nowhere near as big as, say, other genres of films mm-hmm. that are popular mm-hmm. here in Canada or wherever
even
else.
Films that are shot in Canada are rarely set in Canada.
Yeah. So yeah. On that note alone, it's a movie I really appreciate for it not being embarrassed. It's been filmed in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So for on that note alone, it's I think it's quite good. So yeah,
awesome. yeah, obviously, as we've made quite clear at the beginning, I love this movie. I think it's a criminal that it didn't at least make back its budget. But yeah, we've got a variety of opinions here, so some great discussion. So check it out for yourself and see what you think. Leave us a comment. You can reach out to us on any of our social media platforms. And for a refresher, that is SoundCloud, iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And stay tuned for more to come as we make more episodes and get more of you listening to us. So until then, well, I guess at next week's episode, we have Jack hosting. Yep. Want to give us any preview of what we're going to be witnessing?
We're going to be watching A Man Who Makes Shit.
All right.
That's all I'm going to say.
All right. And with that in mind, be sure to tune into our next show. And until then, bye for now.